Hi, welcome everybody to this month's Member Solutions teleconference. My name is Melody Schumann, and I'll be your host today. Today we're going to talk about some of the top five questions from the Maya Super Show. If you joined us at the Maya Super Show, I hope you had a fantastic time. It was great to put some faces with the names, and it was great to meet a lot of people and do a lot of networking. I had a very good time. I myself learned a lot, and I hope that you guys learned a lot as well. What we're going to do for this teleconference is I documented all the questions that I got during the event when I was doing networking at the Member Solutions booth. And, of course, like I said, I documented those questions, and I wanted to provide you guys with more of a comprehensive answer to the top five questions that I received at the Super Show. So let's go ahead and get started. The number one question that I got from a lot of people when I was networking at the event was, what are the most important character traits that I should look for in my staff members? Because we all know that staff development and staff training can be very, very tricky. I don't know of one school out there that is 100% satisfied with their staff members 100% of the time. We all have our challenges working with our staff members, and it makes it really hard, especially if we don't have specific character traits that are present in at least one of our staff members. Productivity is very important, communication is very important, and training is very important, but if they're missing certain characteristics in their personalities, and in their ambitions, and their overall drive, then you're going to still be limited with the results. So let's go ahead and let's talk about the top four character traits, or the top four employees even, that you should have in your martial arts school. Well, first and foremost, of course, you need to have talent. The talent is basically your product. This person, whether it's you or your instructors, they have to be creative, they have to be skilled, and they have to be full of charisma. Now, what I mean by creative is I think that all of my instructors need to have the ability to consistently innovate the drills and the activities that we have in our school. Now, I assign my instructors with class planners that they have to follow step by step, but I want them to add a little bit of creativity to those drills that fit that personality. It's very important. And I also want them to consistently bring new things to the table. If not, then they're not really going to help us become progressive, and that's really what I'm looking for as far as my talent goes. Of course, skilled, when I mean skilled, I mean they have to be able to throw a decent kick and they have to be able to throw a decent punch. You know, you're only as good as your instructors are, and the main talent, I want them to have as many skills as they possibly can. So continuing education as far as martial arts training goes is very, very important. Once my head instructor masters a new weapon or masters a new kick, I want to move him on to a next phase of training, whether it's learning another new weapon or maybe another new style. I want to see him consistently grow in his abilities. I mean, of course, charisma is very important. If you're the talent at the school and you can throw a decent kick or you can throw a decent punch and you can create a whole bunch of new fun drills and activities, but at the same time, you have a dry personality or you have absolutely no personality whatsoever, well, you're not going to be as motivating on the floor. So that's another important characteristic that I want to see in my talent. You know, like I said, their product, therefore, it's very important that these characteristics are in place. Now, also, because the talent is my product, I want to make sure that that person is, number one, responsible, number two, dependable, number three, driven, and, of course, number four, professional in appearance. I do not want to have a talented staff member who's out there, lots of creativity, but he's not responsible. He or she is not responsible enough to deliver the curriculum the way I want it, or is not dependable enough to be at school on time, or not driven enough to consistently see where we're taking our school and the goals that we have. And, of course, like I said, professional in appearance, that's very, very important to me. I came into my school one day after going out to the gym and taking a break, and both of my instructors had mohawks. And it was kind of surprising. It didn't look bad, but it didn't look professional. So the first thing that I did when I walked in is I always have to think quick on my feet, and I joked around with all the parents and asked them if they got the memo that today was Crazy Hair Day. And then after that, I had to sit my two instructors in the office and tell them, no more mohawks unless I pre-approve it. It just doesn't look very professional. And, of course, what happened in the next few weeks, other students came in with mohawks. It's kind of funny. You know, since they are the talent, they are the role models. So it's very important that I have restrictions as far as their appearance goes. Let's move on to the next staff member. You need to have a workhorse in your school. One person who gets things done in a timely manner. This person has to be like a hustler. You know, the workhorse is basically your engine to productivity. The workhorse needs to be aggressive. They have to be great at multitasking. And they have to work best when under pressure. Now, let's kind of break that down as far as what I mean as workhorse goes. Our office manager is our workhorse. She is very aggressive as far as staying on top of even me when we're trying to get events and activities and things going. Let me give you an example. We have a big Schumann Concepts Company event going on here on the Mat Martial Arts in September. And she's wanting me to give her a schedule of events so that she can organize all the students who are going to come in, because we're going to run sneak peek classes and we're going to run mock testings so that martial arts school owners can kind of see how our school operates. Well, I haven't been able to get to working on the schedule just because my project list is so full. So every day she comes in and puts a sticky note on my desk that says, need the schedule, need the schedule, need the schedule. So her aggressiveness has made me finally put the schedule together so that she can do her job. And I really like that about her. And, you know, she's also aggressive as far as outside equipment, getting things, such as we have our school picnic this weekend, and we ordered a big bounce house, and we ordered a big slide, and she called to confirm with the company that they're actually going to be there on time. They didn't return our call over 24 hours, so she called them again. They didn't return her call, so she called them again. She's just very aggressive because she wants to make sure that it goes, that we launch the school picnic with as little problems as possible. The other thing I like about our office manager, she is great at multitasking. You know, Jill, that's her name, our office manager, is right now, she's organizing our school picnic. She's organizing our big company event. She's dealing with our marketing plan and facilitating that to our brand new PR committee that we just started. And she's able to do all those things every day and not really complain or not really get burnt out, and most importantly, not slack. She knows that each and every duty and responsibility that she has is very important, so she has to be good at multitasking so that she gets the job done. But she doesn't make any excuses in the sense that says, well, I'm too busy and I couldn't get to this. That's not her character traits. Her character traits is, all right, all these things need to get done. I need to find a way to multitask so I get them all done in a timely manner. That's what you're looking for from an office manager or even a public relations director. And, of course, you notice I said one of the most important things is the workhorse needs to work best under pressure, especially at our school. We have so many events and activities going on. I run a full-scale guerrilla marketing plan every 90 days, which includes advertising, networking, publicity, and customer service. So there's a lot going on that she needs to be able to deal with, and there are times where we have deadlines. And when those deadlines come, I don't want her to fold and give up and throw her hands up and say, you know what, I can't do it. What I like about my office manager is that she rises to the occasion, and when we're under pressure and we have any kind of challenges, she works even harder and she works even smarter. And that's really what you're looking for. You need at least one staff member who is that workhorse, who is aggressive, who is great at multitasking, and who works best under pressure. Like I said, if you do have a workhorse, that's the person you want to put as your office manager and or your program director. Let's go on to the next staff member, and character traits of that particular staff member is the consultant. You need someone who consistently brings creativity and innovation to the table. This is a totally different generation that we're dealing with than 10 years ago, even than 5 years ago. It's very important in our society that we consistently have something cutting edge, because technology is just duplicating or tripling, and it's just increasing every day. And that means that society is always expecting innovations. So if you're not innovative, you may be limiting what your business can do. A consultant can help you innovate. A consultant can help put together great ideas and put together great new things that you're going to add to your school that are going to motivate and excite not only your staff members, but your students. And, of course, these ideas that the consultant brings to the table, you know, they have to be great, fresh ideas that make good impressions on your market. And, of course, your consultant is the motivator. The consultant is the one who says, look, these are the things that we can do. Let's set a timetable to get them done. And these are the benefits that we're going to receive from them. And if you don't have somebody telling you that, then it's very hard for a school owner to be personally driven. Even myself, you know, I'm a martial arts school owner. I'm a consultant for Member Solutions, and I even have my own consulting company. I, too, have a consultant. Actually, I have several consultants. I have what's called the Board of Directors, which is seven people now. It's up to seven. There's seven professionals. None of them have anything to do with martial arts. One of them owns a marketing company that deals with the automotive industry. One of them is actually a musician. One of them is a retired SWAT team member. One of them is an administrator for IBM. You know, so I have a whole bunch of different professionals, and we sit down and I talk to them about ideas.
Did we lose her?
I think we might have lost her. Melanie, are you still on? Hi, can I get a roll call from everyone real quickly? How many other people do I have?
Hey, guys, sorry about that. We just
there she is.
We just had a power failure in our school. All the lights and everything just went out, but they went back on. I apologize for that. Let me see, where was I? I was talking about board of directors. And again, like I said, I bring all of the new ideas and information that we're doing in our school to the table, and I get their feedback. And usually that's where I get a lot of my great new ideas from, is because they expand on the little ideas that I have. And without my board of directors right now, I wouldn't be very productive. And I have so many different duties and responsibilities, it's very important for me to have somebody behind me pushing me and motivating me and helping me become innovative. Now, the consultant can be anybody. You can set up your own board of directors. Of course, as a benefit to being a Member Solutions client, you have myself, you have Wrenchy Alley. I believe we even have now Dr. Robin Silverman, Kathy Marler. There's so many great consultants who can be your personal motivator. So don't be afraid to shoot us emails with any questions you have, or don't be afraid to book those 20-minute consultations, even if you don't have anything to discuss, to just say, look, Melody, this is what I'm doing this week, and what do you think? Or say, look, this is what I'm doing, and I really need your help following through. And then I can, of course, help motivate you to get it through and hold you accountable for it. I have, right now, I have seven clients called Edge clients, and they're clients that I talk with on the weekly basis for 1 hour. And basically what that program is all about, it's all about not necessarily me running their business, but me helping them run their business. The majority of my Edge clients, they all run their martial arts school very differently. And my role is to each week talk to them and say, okay, let's talk about what you have going on as far as instruction. Let's talk about your staff. Let's talk about your marketing. Let's talk about your curriculum. And then they tell me what they're doing. And then basically every week I'm following up and saying, did you get X, Y, and Z done? If they didn't get it done, they say it out loud. When they say, no, I didn't get it done, it's kind of like a little motivator for them to make sure that they actually do get it done. So I think that that's a very, very, very important staff member. And, there, of course, it doesn't necessarily have to be a paid staff. You can have a board of directors. Of course, you have us through Member Solutions. So make sure you utilize those services, because it can make a big difference in your school. And then, of course, going on to the fourth and final staff position and character traits of that particular staff position is the leader. You need one person to be in charge, the person who leads the rest of the staff. This person is the glue that holds the business together. Most likely, if you're listening on this teleconference, you are probably the leader. The leader is usually the school owner and, of course, usually the chief instructor as well. The leader, of course, needs to make decisions in a timely manner and avoid letting situations sit for too long. That is very, very important. As a leader, sometimes I feel myself being crammed with a challenge that I don't really know which way to go. And there's two ways that I can go as far as handling the situation. And if I let it sit for too long, not only does it brew and potentially get worse, but it's overwhelming and it can weigh you down. Basically, what you need to do is just say, look, okay, we're going to make a decision. We're going to move this way. If it doesn't work, then you fix it. But letting it sit and not making the decision is actually worse. So as a leader, that's one of your most important roles. And then, of course, as a leader, another important role is to be a problem solver. And that's something I'm starting to look at. You know, if we run a marketing campaign and it doesn't work, and then my office manager says, well, you know, that direct mail piece didn't work, let's not do direct mail anymore. No, direct mail is a very important part of advertising. I'm a problem solver, so let's find a way to make our direct mail piece effective. Let's see what we did in this last direct mail piece. Let's discuss why it didn't work. Were the images not good? Was it not professional enough? Or was there something on there that maybe turned people away? Were we not really highlighting the benefits and how it's going to directly help the customer? Were we more highlighting who we are and what we do? Okay, let's go ahead and change that. So problem solving needs to be one of your very, very important roles. Making decision needs to be one of your very important roles. And then, of course, the characteristics that you need to have as a leader, of course, you need to be smart, you have to be ethical, and you have to be very patient. There are some times where I will repeat myself 15 times to my staff members, and they'll get it right, and then they'll make a mistake again. And if I blow up every single time they make a mistake, well, I'm probably going to lose my staff members. So I have to be very patient with them, and I need to deal with it accordingly. And just to give you one example, my head instructor, one of his duties is to take the garbage out at night. And there are nights where he wouldn't take the garbage out. So I sat him in my office and I said, what can I do to get you to remember to take the garbage out at night? And I just had to be very patient. Instead of yelling at him and telling them that he's irresponsible, I was being patient and I was trying to be a problem solver. And we finally solved the problem. My head instructor has a sign-in/sign-out sheet each day that he fills out where he comes in, and he has three duties he has to do when he comes in. He has to vacuum, he has to clean the mirrors, and he also has to prepare the class planners. Then, of course, on that sign-in and sign-out sheet now, I'm even grading them A, B, C, D, E, or F on each class that he runs because I always want to be able to monitor his productivity on the floor. And then when he leaves, he has three duties before he leaves. He has to take out the garbage and replace the trash bags. He has to straighten all the chairs in the schools and all the equipment. And he has to file away all the tracking cards and give me a daily active count. And then he signs out. And I even created an addendum. I went one step further that he signed that said, I hereby understand that my sign-in and sign-out sheet is mandatory every single day. I understand that if I don't sign in or I don't sign out or if any part of the sign-in and sign-out sheet is incomplete, I will be fined $25 per day. I understand that teaching is very important, and the quality of my teaching directly reflects the success of the school. So if there's any day that I get less than a 3.0 grade point average on my classes, I am fined $25 per day. I even made him sign that I understand that if I get fined $25 more than three times in a 90-day period, that I forfeit any future raises or bonuses for the next 6 months. So I've really extended the seriousness of his duties and responsibilities, and that's my job as a leader. I noticed that there were times where he was slacking, and I don't want to come up on his ankles every single day and bite his ankles, but at the same time, it needs to be done. So as a problem solver, that's what we did. We put it in writing, and it's working really, really well right now. So far, knock on wood, I have not had to fine him $25, which would be a total pain because he gets direct deposit each week. But again, I guess the reason why I'm sharing this with you is to motivate you and inspire you as the school owner or as the leader of the school. It is your duty to make decisions and solve problems. And then, of course, as I'll repeat, the characteristics that you need to have is being smart, being ethical, and, of course, being very patient with everything that you do. And if there's one thing that I can tell you as a leader, not just of On the Mat Martial Arts, but also of Schumann Concepts, you never let them see you sweat either. You never let your staff members or the people underneath you see you stress under pressure or be stressed out. because the minute you start getting stressed out, you're going to stress your staff members out. So you always have to make sure you keep your cool in front of them. So hopefully that that will help you go into the right direction with your staff. So let me just repeat one more time, the talent, the workhorse, the consultant, the leader. If you have all four positions and then some, your school will be destined for success. And if you don't know how to get there and you don't know how to organize your staff members in these four particular positions, give me a call, book a 20-minute consultation. I'd be more than happy to walk you through it. Let's go on to question number two. What's better for a school location, a storefront or a hidden location? This question, believe it or not, I get a lot. A lot of people ask me that. And it's no right or wrong answer to it. But if you read my report when I covered this question, you got to think, this is what we learned in our, this is what I learned, at least, in my first marketing course, is the four P's of a business, which stands for product, price, promotion, and place. And it's funny because, like I said, place tends to be the most ignored, which is interesting because place tends to be the most permanent of the four. You know, you can always tinker with your product, which is your actual curriculum, to make it appropriate for your particular market. You can always adjust your price to fit your market. And you can always improve your promotional strategies. But when you talk about a lease or you're talking about a mortgage, you're usually stuck in a long-term situation regarding to place. And if you make a bad decision, you have to deal with it for a very long time. But optimistically, if you make a good decision, you can reap the benefits for years to come. In my particular situation, when I was searching for a location for on-the-mat martial arts, I didn't want it to be in a too highly visible traffic location because that probably meant that the parking was probably going to be a pain in the butt, and also getting in and out of my shopping center was going to be a huge pain. But I didn't want something hidden either. So we actually found the perfect location. It's right next to a large grocery store, but it's sitting back from one of the major intersection or major roads, and it's not at a major intersection. So getting out in and out of the shopping center every day is very simple, even during 5 o'clock traffic. And we'd still get a lot of drive-by and walk-by traffic. So I personally like that. But basically, here's the thing you need to think of. You need to think of what kind of business guru am I. Are you talented and aggressive? If you're talented and you're an aggressive person and you can attract customers no matter where you are, then you don't need a storefront location. You can have a hidden location in a warehouse. As a matter of fact, my main school that I was running in Port Charlotte was in a warehouse location. And the other hand, you know, if you're a financial strategist and you have a good knack for marketing campaigns, then you can go into a storefront location because you can make up the money by increasing your business that way. So those are two things to think of. Now, if you're neither, again, that's when you need to book a 20-minute consultation with myself or Kathy Marler or Renshi Alley, and we all can help you, or we can all provide you with the tools that it takes to fit your particular situation. And, of course, like I said, one more thing not to forget about is don't forget about your employees, too. They want to be in a location that's really cool. I know that when I had my location in a warehouse in Port Charlotte, my staff members used to always complain that it wasn't the most fun-looking location and it wasn't the most exciting because there wasn't that drive-by traffic and so forth. And I took that into consideration. And here in this particular shopping center, we have a gym in here. We have a couple of restaurants. We have the grocery store. And my head instructor actually followed me up here to St. Petersburg, and he always compliments the location that we have and always compliments the look of the school, and he really likes it better than he likes the other school. So I keep that in mind as well. And, of course, keep in mind your students, too. So that's something to think about. Again, of course, if you have any more questions on this, you can ask your questions when I'm done with this portion of the teleconference, or you can email me, or you can book a 20-minute consultation. Well, let me go on to number three. How do I maximize referrals? Well, this is the million-dollar question because referrals is the most powerful marketing tool that you can have at your school. The most important thing I want to reiterate, and we all make this mistake from time to time, is ignoring the referrals when they come in, or at least ignoring the person who referred them. And I know people who do this, and I talk to a lot of people who do this every day. Are you giving every single person who refers someone a prize? Well, no, not right now. We run referral contests here and there, but we're not doing it right now. Don't do that. You always need to have something in place. You either need to run a referral contest over, I always suggest, a 90-day period where you keep track of who's referring, how many people, and then the students who have the most referrals at the end win great prizes. You can do drawings. You can do tickets. You can do a point system. There's so many different ways you can run a referral contest. And I can, of course, like I said, help you out in that sense. Or you can just have a standard gift that you give to every single person when they refer somebody. What we do at our school right now that's working really well, and it's worked well for a long time, is giving out the free testing certificates. So every time that Dr. Insoff refers a person to our school, I print out, this awards Dr. Insoff with a complimentary testing certificate because his wife and his two kids are in our martial arts program. So when all the testing fees come around, it can get, you know, pretty hefty. So my students love turning in those free testing certificates. It's a great incentive. And then, of course, after they turn in three referrals, we have this really nice on-the-mat martial arts uniform that has embroidery on it. The patches are professionally sewn on, and it just looks, it's a better quality, and it just looks very cool. And it's something that money can't buy. I mean, money can buy it, but you can't order it at my school. The only way that you can get this uniform is if you refer three students or more. And it's funny because in my particular demographical market, which may be different than yours, but you know, mine's kind of a competitive market. We have a really cool flashy clientele. If one mom buys a nice Gucci purse, then all the other moms are going to buy a nice Gucci purse too. That's just kind of how it is here in my area. Well, you know, if one kid gets a nice, cool, on-the-mat, customized martial arts uniform, then they all want it. And I really like that. But when people say, well, you know, is that really fair that they get a uniform, my kid doesn't? And I say, you know, a long time ago in martial arts, it was all about those people who can gather a really good following. And the more of a following you had, that was really what signified you as a master or as a higher rank. So if you are one of my loyal students and you help increase my following, this is just my gesture to reward you and thank you for helping me. And, you know, and I try not to say it in a business perspective. I say it more in a humble perspective that I appreciate the fact that you're helping bring more people into our environment. And, of course, here's another thing that we just started doing on July 1st, and I tell you what, it is working fantastic. And it sounds like something that you may have done similar, but if you execute it the right way, it can make a tremendous difference. And that is our referral card. We made these really nice, we had a professionally designed referral card that's the size of a business card. It's full color front and back. The front is on a high gloss UV coating. It has a little image of one of my students, and it just says, get on the mat referral card. And then on the back it says, this card entitles the bearer to special referral discounts at our location. It has all of our information on it. So now, instead of having our students go out and talk to their friends and say, oh, you know, you need to try out on-mat martial arts. It's really a cool place. And here, write down their name and phone number or whatever. They say, here, take this referral card and turn it in, and you're going to save money. You're actually going to get a big discount when you actually go in there and join. And here's how it works at my school. If you just walk through the door, you just call up because of a direct mail or you find us on the Internet or phone book or you're walk-in, to join our school, it's $173.95 down, which is basically your first month's tuition plus a registration fee plus your uniform, and then it's $109 per month. Well, if you walk in here with that referral card, we waive your registration fee, we waive your uniform fee, and we give you a discount on the monthly tuition, which is $99 per month. So if you come in with a referral card, it's $99 down and $99 per month. Well, we've had so many people come in with those referral cards. And it's really cool because even me personally, I like to hook my friends up, and I like to get them special deals. You know, I had one of my friends who said that they wanted to build a fence in their backyard, and I said, you know what, I just had this guy who's a friend of a friend who built our fence, and he did a great job, and he gave me a great deal. Let me call him. I called him and said, hey, I have a friend who wants to get a fence built. Can you hook him up? And he said, yeah, you know what, I'll give him a good deal. And he did. Same thing when I bought my new vehicle. The lady said, anybody that you send over, I'll automatically give them $500 off of the price. So, of course, you know me. I'm selling that particular car dealership. Mike Swain gives anybody that I refer special discounts on Swain mats. So when somebody calls and says, hey, what kind of mats do you use and what kind of mats do you recommend? I say, well, I recommend Swain mats. And as a matter of fact, if you call Mike Swain right now and tell them that I sent you, that he's gonna give you a discount. So see, now I'm more inclined to sell. The reason why some people may not get a lot of referrals or why people may not be jumping off the couch to refer your business is simply because, number one, they don't feel very special, or number two, it may just become tedious to keep saying, okay, write this number down. But if they have cards in their purse or their pocket or their vehicle or in their backpack that they can hand out, it makes it a lot easier, especially if they can hook you up. They're going to feel a lot more special. And they get a prize on the end. It's a win-win situation all the way around. So if you want to talk more about referrals, again, like I said, that's when you book your 20-minute consultation, or you can email me, and I'd be more than happy to share with you dozens of different ways that you can maximize your referrals, because there's more than one way to make it work. Okay, let's go on to question number four. Is it better for me to let a prospect take class on his or her first initial visit, or give that prospect a private lesson first? Well, you know, I've done both. I've let students come in and just take a free class in the past, and I've also done what is our new, very successful pre-evaluation. I personally like to pre-evaluate every single student before they step on the mat. Number one, the reason why is because I want to identify that particular potential student's strengths and weaknesses so that when I'm done with the pre-evaluation, I sit down with the mom and dad and I say, okay, based on the pre-evaluation, here's what I've concluded. He's got fantastic physical strength. His upper body strength is really good. His lower body strength is good. His core strength is fantastic. I ran him through a couple of three-step, four-step, five-step commands to see how smart he is, to see if he's going to be able to pick up some of the drills and activities that we do in class very quickly. He did that very good. Of course, you know, I noticed, though, emotionally, he did get a little frustrated if he didn't pick it up right away. And also socially, he is a little bit introverted. So this is why I think this is how our program is going to help your son. Because he's very smart and because he physically is talented, he's going to do very well in class. Well, that is going to boost his confidence and boost his self-esteem, which is going to make his emotional skills increase. So you're going to see less and less frustration from him as he progresses through the program. Also, socially, we have such a positive, high-energy social atmosphere. We are all friends here. We our key focus when we're talking about teaching students how to learn and grow is all about positive reinforcement and positive motivation. So he's going to feel really comfortable in our environment. He's going to meet a lot of new friends. So you're going to start to see, most importantly, his personality come out in the next 6 months. Well, when I do that, it doesn't matter how much my program costs, because that parent's number one, probably knows, yes, my child does get frustrated, and yes, he is very shy, and you can't put a price tag on seeing your child not be frustrated, and you can't put a price tag on seeing your child become more outgoing. So that's why I think that private lessons are better than going into the class first, because you want to be able to directly translate how the Montrose program is going to help them. And the best way to do that is do it in a private environment. Of course, if they do take an initial class, there's definitely nothing wrong with that. You just want to make sure that your eyes and ears are very open while that student takes that first lesson in the group environment and try to identify, again, how your program is going to help him. So I guess the most important thing I'm saying related to this particular question is whether they take a group class or whether they take a private lesson, make sure that you're translating and you're first of all, make sure you're identifying how martial arts is going to help that specific student and make sure you're translating that to the parent or to the person who's taking class. That's where you establish value. You don't necessarily establish value if you're a 10-time master, 5-time world champion, any of that stuff. Doesn't really matter if they don't know how the program's going to help them. So that's very important. And, of course, the other reason why I do pre-evaluations is because in our school, we do profile our students. And we do have a student profile that you have to fit in order to be a student in our school. And I hope I'm not coming across too catty, but there are students, and there are people who come into our door who just have a negative attitude, who have a negative behavior. And, you know, although martial arts can help fix that negativity, I don't want to do it in a group environment. I don't want to have a negative child on the floor who's going to drop the momentum and the motivation of the class. I don't think that it's fair to my other students to bring a student into our school like that. Now, I will do private lessons with that person to help them become more positive, but I don't want to put them in the group environment. So that's why private lessons help, too, because I really can tell from the very beginning if the negativity is going to be a significant problem at the beginning. Now, there are people who may seem positive and fantastic, and then when they drop on your floor, you start to notice this negativity, whether it's from the student or from the parent, but that's when your quality guarantee and your three strikes rule comes into place. And I'm sure most of you guys have my school policies booklet, and you've read our quality guarantee, and you've seen how we run our three strikes rule. I've gotten dozens and dozens of emails in the past few months from people requesting that. So I'll go ahead and extend the offer again. If you have not received a copy of our school policies booklet and you'd like to see how we word our quality guarantee and our three strikes rule, which basically helps us handle the negativity in our school in a professional manner, go ahead and email me. My email address really quickly is Melody, M-E-L-O-D-Y, at SchumannConcepts.com. And that's spelled SchumannConcepts. And if you need that again, you can ask me at the end of the teleconference. I'd be more than happy to repeat that for you. Let's go on to the final question, which is the fifth question. That's basically another million-dollar question is, how do I stand out from my competition? Well, basically, you stand out from your competition by making yourself unique. For example, in my particular area, we've got at least two dozen martial arts schools within a 10-mile radius. And several of those schools are actually really good. They're really nice size. They've got very good instructors. They're in very good locations. The look from just being on driving by, they look very professional. So what do I do to compete with these guys? All these guys have been here a lot longer than me. I'm the new kid on the block. I've only been at this particular location for a year and a half. So how do I stand out? Well, pretty much every single school that's a competitor in my area, they all do after school martial arts programs, and also number two, they have family classes, and they combine 6 to 12-year-olds in a class, and then 13 and up, and then, of course, they have family classes where the moms can take class with their kids. So I want to stand out by being different. We are the only martial arts school in our area that offers, number one, age-specific classes. We break our classes down by 3 and 4-year-olds, 5 to 6-year-olds, 7 to 9-year-olds, 10 to 14-year-olds, and 15 and up. We're the only school that does that, and we're the only school in the area that incorporates age-specific curriculums that target their stage of development through research in science and psychology. And it may sound complicated, and it is. Every single one of our classes are results-driven. Every single class that we teach at our school targets the particular age group. It's not a traditional martial arts curriculum that was written for the majority. It's a martial arts curriculum that was written for the specific student at that particular age and their particular stage of development. Now, with this said, it doesn't mean that the after-school programs and the family programs and all that stuff that it's wrong. Because don't get me wrong, because it isn't. Because there is a market. There are a lot of people who need after-school martial arts transportation in order for them to participate in the martial arts. And there also is a market for people who need convenient martial arts classes so that their siblings or so that kids can take class together or so that the parents and the kids can take class together. It definitely is a market. But I also believe that there is a market for people who want a martial arts program that targets their child's particular age group and generates results through science and psychology, through research in science and psychology. And that's the market that we're tackling right now. We are very specific when we market. We're even very specific when we talk about referrals. When we tell students, look, you know, we're looking for referrals, but we're looking for people who, number one, would rather sacrifice convenience for quality, and also, number two, find a high, high value in comprehensive quality martial arts training. And those are the kind of people we're looking for. And it works for us because we've got a very good clientele, great, 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 great students, and it's very easy to market these particular students with our USP of having age-specific programs. And pretty much everybody who comes through our door, when I say, how did you hear about us, pretty much everybody says, you know, we've heard a lot about on-the-mat martial arts. We heard about your age-specific programs, and I really want to put something, my child in something that is going to help him learn and grow and get a little bit better. I like that. So that's how you make yourself stand out from your competition. Now, if you're in a competitive area that everybody has age-specific programs, then maybe you would be the one who wants to offer the flexible, convenient family classes. Or if you're in a market that doesn't have any after-school martial arts programs, then that's the market you want to get into, because that's going to help you stand out from your competition. So the bottom line is find out what everybody else is doing in your area and make yourself different, whether it's your style or the programs you offer or the schedule you offer. And if you need help, of course, that's, again, what we're here for at Member Solutions, is to help you find something that makes you unique. I hope you guys all have a wonderful summer, and I look forward to talking to everybody next month in our teleconference. You guys have a great week.
See you later, Mel.
Thanks, Melody.
Thanks, Melody.
Thank you.